it's Kim, and I want to invite you to listen to my show, The Kim Pagano Show.
Join us weekday mornings at 8 to listen to The Kim Pagano Show. Kim talks about everything from beauty and health to giving you tips and tricks for living a beautiful and passionate lifestyle. We interview experts from an array of industries and talk about their personal journeys about marriage, finances, kids, recipes, fitness, and everything in between, adding value every day in every way. Kim's a hair therapist and a mother of four, and so much more. You can tune in. Call in. Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 9 a.m. and again in the afternoons from 3 to 4 p.m. Get your daily dose of Kim on The Kim Pagano Show right here on AM 1400 KKZZ. Coming to you live from the studios of AM 1400 KKZZ, Ventura County's Inspiration Station. This is the Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and more, bringing you value in every way, every day. Join Kim and her friends as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, featuring everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. You can join us and share your journey by giving us a phone call at 805-639-0008. And now, here's your host, Kim Pagano.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here. Let's get it started. Let's get it started in here.
Lose control, a body and soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it.
Welcome and good morning, everyone. I hope that you are on your way to get some of your to get some of your Christmas shopping done. You are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I hope you're waking up with us. And oh my God, we got craziness. What happened? Were you unhooked? Oh gosh, you know. And that's what we're doing here. So, anyways, welcome everyone to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia.
Hello. Sorry about that. I unhooked myself and didn't realize it.
That's a personal problem. So, all right, we got Matt on the board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. We are well into the holidays.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. And you know, it's funny. I was telling everybody yesterday when I was doing hair how I think it was like maybe the first or the second. You know, it's December 4th. Patients, my friends, just, you know, really enjoy every day. I take back everything I've ever said. I'm in full-blown, you know, panic mode because the presents that I thought I was going to get, not so much. You know, I don't know how people do that. I have a couple of clients that are all wrapped under the tree, done. They're just panic-free.
It's you know, I'm trying, honestly, I'm trying not to focus on presents.
Yeah.
Because every year I do the same thing. I get all panicky about November, thinking about it. And all through November, I'm trying to think, what am I going to do? What, you know, then I buy some stuff, and then it comes December, and I really panic, and I buy more stuff, and then I have twice or three times more stuff than I actually need.
Yeah.
And frankly, I've told my kids all, I have two 18-year-olds and a 17 or 16-year-old.
That's right. Your boys are 18.
Friday.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh my
gosh. I know. So I keep telling them, you know what, it is not about presents, and we've got to get out of that mode. So I'm really trying not to focus on that, but it's still.
Well, you know what, I cut one of your son's hair yesterday, and we were talking about presents, and he goes, you know, I don't really need anything.
I know.
And so I was saying, you know, it's so fun to hear their perspective because, you know, even though my kids say it, I think they don't really mean it. But when you talk to other children and they go, you know, we're really...
Well, and the gadget guy was on yesterday telling us about these expensive gadgets, and I appreciated that. And I did ask my son, my other son, John, you know, what one thing do you really want for Christmas? He goes, well, I kind of need a new computer. I said, well, you're graduating from high school this year. That really should be your graduation present because we don't know which college you're going to go to and what you're going to prefer when you get there because some colleges, they prefer one some computer over another. And you
do they have a preference?
Well, like Harvard uses almost all Macs.
I never knew that.
My kids aren't going to Harvard, but we toured there, and I noticed that they're kind of sponsored by Mac. So I'm thinking maybe we better wait till you decide which college you're going to decide what computer you want.
I never knew that had a preference, you know, as opposed to what college. Have you ever heard of that, Matt?
No, I do know that if you're a new student, depending what college you go to, well, I believe all students have discounts for Mac.
Right.
So that's awesome.
Well, exactly. And then that's the other thing I told him. You know, he doesn't want a Mac, actually. I use a Mac, but he didn't want one. But you wait until the end of the year because they have a whole bunch of discounts for kids that are going off to college. So.
Yeah. I think that's what we got our oldest daughter, her computer, when she went off to college, and then Tiffany.
But besides that, they really do not need anything. And, you know, gosh, I mean, we could get them some clothes and, you know.
So here's what I wonder, okay? So you have your Christmas tree that has no gifts under it, okay? What do you know what I'm saying?
I don't care.
I know. So is it just decorations? Is it just about having
it's
family
about spending
over?
Spending time together.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that it is all about, and I'm trying to, you know, tell my kids, this is the last Christmas you're all going to live in our house.
That's a scary thought.
This is. I mean, because they are going to go off to, you know, maybe they'll all be back at some point. But, you know, this is the last Christmas, so please let's just appreciate being together.
Right, and enjoy every moment.
Right, and, you know, then also, my twins turn 18 on Friday, and we have another boy living with us, and he turns 18 today. So we have all
Did you make cinnamon?
No, he actually went to his dad's house last night, and he's going to come back for tonight. So I'm going to go to his favorite thing in the world is Cinnabon.
So
I'm not going to get him a cake. I'm going to get him Cinnabons, and we're going to put candles on it.
Well, there you go.
So, and then, you know, I'm going to make him a really nice dinner. And that has been a very interesting thing. His family has fallen on, he doesn't listen because he's in school, but his family has had some really hard times. His dad's a minister, and his, when we all lose our jobs, one of the industries that suffers is your church or your temple, and people stop giving. And when you stop giving, the lights get turned off, you know, basically, and the ministers can't be paid.
So any of us can go through hard times. I mean,
right.
That's really, it's a reality. And
right.
So thank God for people like you.
Well,
you know,
he's my son's best friend, and what I do, you know, so
I do the same thing. I hope all my kids' friends aren't listening, but I would do the same thing.
Exactly.
You know?
And you know what? It has been more of a blessing for us than for him. He is the greatest kid in the world and has no, you know, he's so easy to live with and so much fun.
He's probably so appreciative that just, you know, I just think that's important.
And we just treat him like one other person in our family, you know, but he has just brought so much joy. And when he's not there, it makes me sad. I'm like, oh, I miss him. So happy birthday, Devin. You're a terrific kid. And, you know,
happy birthday. There you go.
Incredible future ahead of him.
Well, I want to start off with, if anybody's just listening for the first time, my show is Kim Pagano's show. We talk about anything that can add value to your life every day in every way. And I bring on different people to talk about their journeys to make our lives a little bit easier. So if you have a journey or you have something that you have are going through, good, bad, or indifferent, that's what life's all about, is just sharing. And I really believe that many hands make little work. And if we could, you know, all get together and make one day, every day, better.
Right.
And especially right now through the holidays. So if you have a holiday story or a tradition that you want to share, this is the time to call up. Matt's on the board right now at 805-639-0008. Matt, what's your family tradition?
We usually all hang out at my grandmother's house.
Oh, fun. You're so lucky to have a grandmother still.
You are.
Yeah, my grandmother has, well, I have tons of aunts and uncles. So she had 7 kids herself. And on top of that, dozens of grandchildren. So I was happy to grow up with lots of cousins. So we all get together during the holidays. And,
do you guys play games or what do you do?
Yeah, we're huge on spoons. We're at the table. We love playing spoons.
Wait, spoons.
Yeah,
okay.
Card game.
It's a card game.
Oh, my God. Okay, you're going to have to tell me about it.
I have not played
really
that
fun.
So long. It is a really fun game. It's very, you would love it. It's very competitive and physical.
I like, yeah. Oh, really?
It's
okay.
Really fun.
Okay, you got to teach me because my boys would love that. I like it. So, and you know what? That's one of the fun things that you get everybody involved in. You know, we play this left, right, and center.
Yeah,
and it's
too.
Just $3. Have you played that?
No, I haven't.
Oh, my God. Okay, I'm going to trade you.
I'm going to have to introduce it.
Yeah, it's the funnest game. And then the kids can't wait to play it. So then when you have all your cousins and everybody and everybody's standing around the table, it is the funnest game. So if anybody else has any great holiday ideas out there besides just buying presents,
Yeah. We
got to bring back, you know, the life into the house and everything. So anyways, I know we have our first guest and everybody's going, okay, what are we going to talk about today? We're actually going to be talking about yoga. And we have Joanne Spence. She's the director of Yoga on the Square and the Absolute Beginner. I know, you know, you, Marcia, are pretty experienced at yoga.
I'm experienced in the fact that I go a lot, but I'm not very good at it, and I don't care.
Right. Well, you know what's funny is I'm thinking that, you know, I do hair. I have my family. I still do, you know, a lot of our books in the office and stuff, and then I do my radio show. I have totally cut out my exercising, and, you know, that is my number one goal to bring back
in. Your New Year's resolution?
Well, I'm not going to make it a New Year's, because I really think that's, you kind of like start it and then
you
let
stop,
it go.
Right.
Yeah. But it's on top of my list of things that I really need to take care of back of myself before your body gets
best way to do that is look at people in their 80s that you admire physically.
Oh, my God.
And all of them are physically active. I mean,
look at Donna Perry.
Yeah.
She's
not in her 80s.
No, but I'm just saying is she turned her whole life around, and she looks fabulous.
Yeah.
So you could turn your life around any time, any day. And that's kind of what I'm saying is that I don't want to wait till New Year's Eve. I want to do it today,
you know?
So anyway, so I'm really excited. And then the next person that we're going to be talking to is about patience.
I need.
I know. So anyway, stay tuned. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're going to take a 2-second break, and we'll be right back, and we'll be talking about yoga. And I think it's just it's beginning, so I think we can all take that in.
Yeah.
Stay with us. You're listening to the Kim Pagano Show.
Why not give someone you love the gift of music this holiday season? Music is a gift that will last a lifetime, and at the Lewis Music Academy, my family and I will personalize a gift certificate for you and your special someone. We offer private and group instruction for piano, guitar, bass, drums, voice, strings, woodwinds, and brass. We also have a fantastic rock band program and an awesome worship music workshop. Choose your instrument, pick your favorite song, bring your friends, and come rehearse your band as you prepare for an evening concert. And for your adorable mini music lovers, we have an exciting Music for Tots program for children ages 3 to 4. Visit our website at lewismusicacademy.com and let our family teach your family to love music.
Oh, honey, what's wrong?
I just finished meeting with the realtor, and she says we can't sell Dad's. It can take more than a year to complete and cost more than $20,000.
What are we going to do?
I'm attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who did not plan accordingly. A probate proceeding can cost families thousands of dollars in wasted costs and attorney's fees, leave families feeling helpless. Let me show you how I can save your family thousands with a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
We can't change where our economy is today, but we can make sense of our future. Retirement will be around the corner, whether you're planning for it or not. And let's face it, most people have not. Let Hannah and David help you strategize and get focused on your future. They'll show you ways to help you reduce debt, start saving money, earn higher rates of returns, help you save toward the cost of college, and protect your family and real estate using the suitable forms of life insurance. Call Hannah and David for a no-obligation consultation. Hannah and David have been helping families and business owners in Southern California since 1999 with a great proven track record. Call them in their new Westlake office. You can reach Hannah and David at 818-402-9396. Give them a call. Today can be the first day of the rest of your life.
This is the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Are you a fan of Kim on Facebook yet? If not, it's extremely easy. Simply go to facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show and press the like button. You can find all about what's coming up on upcoming shows, as well as be entered in special contests to win monthly prizes. It's all for free on Facebook at facebook.com/The Kim Pagano Show. And now, once again, here's Kim.
I like it. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us and waking up with us this morning here on The Kim Pagano Show. I'm here, and I've got Marcia, and I've got Matt on the board. Our phone number here is 805-639-0008. If you have any questions in regards to yoga, just absolute beginning yoga, right now is the time. Give us a call. Also, we are going to do our giveaway at 8:30, so definitely stay with us. All right, so Joanne, are you there?
I am, yes. Hi.
How are you? Joanne.
Good. How's the audio? I usually do this through the landline, but I'm on my cell phone today. Are we doing okay?
Yeah, we are.
Good.
So tell us a little bit, you know, it's funny, I was saying, and I think this is so perfect because we're all so busy trying to make the holidays great, and yet at the same time, we need to take care of ourselves. We forget. And then we don't feel good, and we get those, you know, it's just, it's kind of the way it goes. But if you're doing kind of taking care of yourself, I think that you're giving back to yourself. So tell us.
How did you start in yoga?
Yeah, I was in a really bad car accident about 12 years ago, and followed by 2 years of chronic pain. And at the end of that time, I just happened to... That's a longer story that I won't go into right now, but happened to find myself in a weekend at yoga workshop, and it was really different to what I thought it would be. But the big drama of that weekend was that 3 days later, I was pain-free for the first time in 2 years.
Really? Well, I got to admire you because to go straight into a yoga workshop, like, which is not like an hour long, it's like a morning or
weekend.
Day. Yeah, is quite ambitious.
But now, were you always, like, did you always work out?
No, I thought about it a lot, and like most people, I thought it was important, and I read the studies, but there was a gap between the knowing and the doing, and I had all of the right gear, and, you know, there have been times where I've been working out and riding a bike and doing lots of really good things, but that time wasn't one of them. And so I was surprised when I tried yoga and it was hard because I considered myself an active person. But then I thought, you know, this doesn't have to be hard. This really is an exercise or a mind-body practice that for people that, A, don't like exercising or have never really taken care of themselves. And I saw benefits right away. And physically at first, because it really helped me to manage my pain. But after that, I have a background in mental health. I'm a social worker, my profession. I started to notice just how much it helped me to manage my mood. And I started using it in my classes where I work at a psychiatric institute. And I noticed people visibly changing their affect in front of me. Really that buzzword, that self-regulation, that's really key. And I realized I started doing that with children, with myself. And
I absolutely agree with you.
It's amazing. And yeah, so if you breathe, you can do yoga.
Well, so this is, I'm Marcia, by the way. And
hi, Marcia.
I do yoga 2 or 3 times a week. And I got to say, it's really more, I mean, physically, yes, it does a ton for me, but really more mental than anything else. It helps my attitude, my mood, my just focusing on my breathing and myself for 1 or 1.5 hours, you know, is just really great for my mental health.
Yes, absolutely. And that's why I made a DVD called Absolute Beginning Yoga, so that anybody could get started. And you mentioned the hour and a half, which is wonderful when one has time to go to a class and spend that time. There's definitely increased benefit over time. But some of us just have that 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And so I have a short 7-minute sequence. I have a 15-minute sequence.
So, Joanne, do you think that 7 minutes is going to make that big of a difference in your life?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
That's really, I mean, seriously, that's amazing.
Just learning to breathe.
And, you know, that's the good news. And the downside of it is sometimes we think, well, how could 7 minutes make a profound difference? How could that be worth my time? And I truly believe that it does. But I would like to just say to people, you know, don't believe me. Try it.
Right. And now, so when you went in and you first did your first yoga, were you sore?
I was. I thought I was flexible and I thought I was strong, and it turns out I wasn't.
Right, but you kept with it because it made you feel better. Because I think so many people start and then they overdo it and then they don't, you know.
And that is the great thing about a video. If you like to do things at home or you just don't want to be intimidated by going to a class and watching what other people can do, doing it at home really could make the big difference between starting and not starting. So I agree that, you know, a video would be great for some people, because one of the things that happens with yoga is that, and any actual exercise class, is a lot of people, and especially if you're a competitive person, can go to yoga and your natural thing is to try to compete with the person next to you. And yoga is really about a practice for yourself. It has nothing to do with what somebody can do next to you.
Almost being in your own mind.
Well, and I mean, your own really limits and body type, because everybody's body type is different, and some people are more flexible than others. And so if you're trying to compete with the person that can do a back bend and put their head, their leg over their head, and, you know, you are doing things, or even a plank position is when your back is straight and your arms are, you know,
holding,
you up. I am a very strong person, so I can do plank all day long. But I can't do a tree pose to save my life for very long. A tree pose is when you're standing with your leg up and you're like on one leg for quite a while.
So almost like a balance, right?
Right. I'm terribly unbalanced. So if I got depressed about it, I wouldn't go because I'd be intimidated. But just to be able to do something at home and learn some of the basic concepts at home, then you could go to a class and not feel so intimidating.
Marsha, I think you're making such an important point, because yoga is all about not competing. And yet, strange creatures that we are, we go and we look and we see what other people are doing, and even not acknowledging that their body and their life situation might be completely different to ours, and expecting that, why can't we do what everybody else is doing? And it's not easy. It takes a lot of courage to try something new, even something that's very simple. And that tendency to compare ourselves with others, I think, is part of our human condition. So, yeah, sometimes having that privacy of
being in your own home,
and just going, this is about making me better and taking care of myself.
Right.
You know, I just want to let everybody know, if anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to the Kim Pagano Show. We're talking to Joanne Spence, and she is the director of Yoga on the Square. And we're talking about absolutely beginning yoga. And, you know, you say in your little thing here that nothing was working. You couldn't sleep. You were actually becoming depressed, right?
Yes.
And you weren't willing to start on all the, you know, ibuprofen for the rest of your life, that kind of thing. A lot of people are going through that. A lot of people, we just had somebody that was over here that we talked to about painkillers. And, you know, you don't want that to be a lifestyle. So this is an incredible alternative. So what would you, if you could walk us through, what would be your very first step for somebody who just wants to change their life to definitely get out of pain and definitely be able to really start to live a great, incredible life?
I think the first step is just like with anything that's going on, is to realize that perhaps some help might be good. this is hard. And what? How do I marshal my resources? And then stopping, just pausing, pressing the pause button, and noticing what's happening around you, and saying, you know, if I don't take charge of my health, my mental and physical well-being, nobody else is going to do that for me. And just pausing and breathing. And, you know, we talk about that stopping and smelling the roses and smelling the coffee. Well, it's more than just a cliche. It's absolutely essential, I'm convinced, to our mental and physical well-being to be able to press the pause button. And I think yoga is a practice that allows you to press the pause button, to breathe, to notice. And it just goes on from there, doing even small amounts of movement.
So if you were going to define yoga for people who have never done yoga before.
Oh, great question.
Well, it's actually a comprehensive health system for health, you know, for well-being. And the part that I have put, and many people have studied this for years and written volumes and books, and what I've done is skimmed the surface to take some of the very simple practices that connect the breath and the movement. So I would say that just pausing, connecting breath and movement in order to self-regulate, it balances the nervous system. I think that that's a good, let me get my head around what this is about. That's what it's about.
And then how did you go from doing yoga and then becoming an instructor?
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
How did you go from just doing yoga to being an instructor?
Well, I never did just do yoga the very first weekend. This is very odd. I don't recommend doing it in this order. Was a teacher training.
Oh.
I had never taken a class in my life. I didn't know anybody that took a class. And I was working at a large health club teaching water aerobics and not breathing and in pain. And they said, well, we need yoga instructors. And being my usual enthusiastic self, I'm like, what's yoga? I'll do that.
Oh, that sounds like me, doesn't it, Marcia?
Yeah, I was going to say, Kim, jump in.
I signed up sight unseen, and lo and behold, that changed the course of my life. So I had a parallel journey of discovering yoga for myself and becoming a teacher at the same time. And that's not the usual.
And how do people get a hold of your video?
I have a website. It's absolutebeginneryoga.com. Or if they're in the Pittsburgh area, I have a yoga studio, yogaonthesquare.net. Or they can just Google Joanne Spence and they'll find out all the information about the DVD. But it's absolutebeginneryoga.com. And
right.
It'll put you right through to Amazon where you can buy the DVD.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, I just think, again, we're all so busy. Take a moment to definitely smell the roses and just breathe. Breathe, right?
Breathe.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Joanne.
Thank you for having me.
Have
a great holiday.
You too. All right. So, you know, when we come back, one, we do have a giveaway because I said this is about giving away and giving back to all my sponsors, to all my listeners, and I love to do that. So we have a question, right?
Right.
And maybe you want to say that because that's something
okay,
that
so
you
our
actually...
question here is, when is Boxing Day?
That's her. That gets that right. And at 805-639-0008. And we have a $50 gift certificate to Lures, and did I say it right?
No, Lure.
Lure.
Like
I know,
it's
not funny. Yeah, Lure, and excellent fish house over here in Camarillo, restaurant, oyster bar, all that good stuff.
That's
very
fun.
Yep, we're going to take a really quick break. Stay with us, but definitely if you know that answer, you've got a great dinner to go to. So give us a call, 805-639-0008. You're listening to The Kim Pagano Show.
Grow your business with Ventura's only hometown newspaper, the Ventura Breeze, by reaching our highly targeted audience at affordable prices. Your ad will be read by thousands of local residents, business owners, and visitors. Our affordable rates start at just over $33 an issue, giving you an exceptional return for your advertising dollar. To be included in the next issue of the Ventura Breeze, contact us at advertising@venturabreeze.com.
Did you hear John down the street passed away? He was so young.
Oh, man, wasn't he a single father?
Yes. I have no idea what they're going to do. What would we do if that happened?
Ooh, who would take care of our kids?
Oh, we really need to get a plan in place, but where do we even start?
I am attorney David R. Schneider, and this kind of problem plays out every day for families of Ventura County who do not plan accordingly. Making a plan to help your family in the event of a tragedy is very important. Let me help you by answering all your questions and show you ideas on how to plan, not for future events, but to protect your family from waste and bad investments through the use of a comprehensive estate plan using a revocable living trust. Call me at the law offices of David R. Schneider, 374-8777. Listeners of the Kim Pagano Show receive a free one-hour, no-obligation consultation, a $275 value. Give us a call at 374-8777 and say you heard about us from the Kim Pagano Show. Let us help. Call 374-8777. That's 374-8777.
It's the Kim Pagano Show on AM 1400 KKZZ. Do you have a story to share? Perhaps an impressive or inspirational journey? We'd love to hear from you. Send an email to kimpagano at gmail.com. That's kimpagano, P-A-G-A-N-O, at gmail.com. And now, once again, here's Kim.
Welcome back, everyone. And we actually do have a winner. So let's get them on the line. And our question was,
when is Boxing Day?
That's right. And Andy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How did I know that you would win? Because what is Boxing Day?
Boxing Day is December 26th, the day after Christmas.
And what is it?
Well, for us, it was supposed to be traditionally when you got together to open up the larger box items. I know some families use the boxes after all the presents were opened to pack up gifts to give to kind of the poor. I think there's a few different traditions associated with it. But
well, it's an English holiday.
First of all, obviously,
and
we knew that.
I'm going to tell you why you even celebrate Boxing Day, because you may not even know. During the aristocratic era, all of the servants had to serve on Christmas Day to the aristocrats. So Boxing Day was the day for regular people to celebrate Christmas, because they worked their whole Christmas Day.
Right, so they would celebrate the next day after.
On the 26th.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, well, thank you so much, and you got yourself a
50. So I taught an English man something about England.
There you go.
And I do, and I'm not English, but we usually traditionally have a Boxing Day party because it's too much of a hassle to have it before Christmas, so we have done that for the last few years, and I have to decide today whether I'm going to do it. But
all right. Well, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you very much, Kim.
All right. Take care.
Have fun at Lure.
Yeah. All right. Bye-bye. All right. Well, with that, Marsha, I know you got some tips for us, right?
Yes. Well, as we've said before, maybe you have heard me, I'm an AIFD florist, and so I've been a florist for 30 years, and I used to own a store for 15 years and then sold it when I moved to Ventura. But I'm trying to give you a few tips on maybe centerpieces for your Christmas table that could be a little different and something fun. One of the ideas that I have done before and is really heartfelt and something that, okay, first of all, the whole idea of a centerpiece is to bring people towards the center of the table.
That's what it really means?
Yeah,
oh,
centerpiece. It's
I thought it meant to make a table look pretty.
Well, the idea of a centerpiece is to not only make it look pretty, but to bring the conversation to the center.
Hmm.
And so you don't want anything that obstructs your view, obviously, no matter how pretty it is. Don't put things in people's path, so they always have to turn their head or move their head to look around it. So the idea is, if you put your elbow on a table and you bend your wrist, don't make it any higher than that.
Oh.
So the only thing you could put that could be slightly higher would be candles. And candles are a great way to do anything and create a mood. And I like to use a whole bunch of different kinds of candles.
I love how you do that, too.
I don't like one kind of candle. And the other thing about that is it's less expensive because you can use candles you have in all different sizes. So you could use crystal, silver, or you could just use, I mean, if you don't have anything that's nice like that and you don't want to go out and buy anything, one of the things you could do is take apples and core them and put candles in them and put them down your table. If you want a more rustic-looking table.
Oh,
so you take a apple corer.
Now, do you, are all your candle, your actual candles, are they supposed to match?
No.
Oh, so it doesn't really
matter.
There is
no rules. And people that make up rules are crazy. You can do whatever you want at your table. The other thing that you could do that could be really fun as place card holders or just decoration on the table is take pictures of your loved ones that you have around your house and put them in small frames and then put them at their place card table.
Oh.
So that, you know, you show where they're supposed to sit. If you don't want to tell people where to sit, just put them down the table. It just makes life personal. And maybe Christmas is past. If you can dig out your pictures of things, of Christmases that you've had before or Hanukkahs you've had before, and put them in frames, and, you know, or loved ones you've lost, and put your grandmother and your grandfather and
you could have like a really old traditional,
yeah,
you know,
and then every year you can put a new picture, so you can
hopefully
start,
not.
Not necessarily. Yeah.
No.
Thing, yeah.
The way you said that.
Knock
yeah,
on something.
Yes, exactly. But
not necessarily people you've lost, but every year you could add to your collection of people and things that you love, animals. You could do all your animals. You could do pictures of your, you know, pets. People. Some people are really into pets.
Yes.
So, you know, make it creative and personal. That is the whole point of a centerpiece. If you go, I mean,
but
I know
what about the flowers and the, you know, what about that?
Well, first of all, it's easy to buy flowers now, and a lot of people think they can't decorate and can't use flowers.
But do you have to, like, you know, you're saying that they shouldn't be really high, so should you cut off all your flowers and make them, you know, I love that really traditional country kind of, you know, where they're all the same, the roses are all the same.
Well, that's a certain kind of look, and I'm trying to do things that maybe the average person could do. You can go buy an arrangement at a florist, and I'm not telling you not to do that. I own
no,
a florist
but I'm talking. Yeah, but I'm talking about where they can go into their garden, you know, or they can go to anywhere, you know, grocery store and buy roses, right? But then they're going to come home and they have to put them in.
Yeah,
something.
I buy and collect a lot of small vases, and I will do things in clusters because I don't like, my personal preference is not one huge arrangement in the center of the table. I like small things carried out. Plus, frankly, I don't usually have a lot of room. You know,
on
we have
table,
so much
yeah.
food and other stuff on the table. I don't have room for, you know, 8 inches wide and 16 inches long arrangement in the center of the table necessarily. So
now, what about laying stuff on your table, like, you know, ivy or what's your thought on that?
Well, I love it, but not everybody feels confident enough to do something like that. But things that look really great are just stuff out of your yard, like greenery, like ivy or twigs, and then berries and garland. If you have extra garland that's not on your Christmas tree, I'm not telling you to take everything off your Christmas tree, but if you have extra garland around your house, that's one great way. And I'm talking about beaded garland, not necessarily green artificial garland, but you could use that too. And just, you know, like, think of a snake. Use it on your table like a snake.
Oh, and then decorate around it.
Yeah, instead of being so stiff about it, put it, you know, on the table, and then put the other things in clusters around it, two or three,
oh,
down the table.
That just gave me an eye. Okay.
And the longer your table is, the
and
better
fresh,
that works.
Right?
Not necessarily.
No?
Because
I love that smell.
I love fresh, but... Well, some people are allergic.
That's true. But I walked into your house for a second, and it smells delicious. Is that
well,
the tree,
I only
or
use
is that
fresh stuff?
Yeah.
But that's me because I was a florist for so many
Maybe
years.
Maybe that's why you sound like that.
No.
No.
No. I've just had sinus issues, but it started way before I had anything in the house.
Okay.
But that was, you know, because I've done flowers and Christmas for everybody else and decorated other people's homes, I always have to have a fresh tree, and I have to have fresh garland. But that's just my weirdness.
I like it, though. I like
it.
No. All right. Well, thanks for some of those great tips. I know we actually have our next guest on, and is it Alan? Is it Lucas?
Locus, as in focus.
Oh, very good.
That's great.
And I've already learned something about garland.
There you go. I like it. I like it. So
yes,
you're going to be talking to us about,
patience.
If we could just, yeah, patience. Not trying to solve the world's problems all in one go, right?
I don't know that we can do that, but we can certainly take steps toward becoming a bit more patient.
Now, I've always been told don't pray for patience because God makes you wait.
Oh, I like it. Well, that could have been.
You told me that while I was still writing my book.
I like it. Yeah. So your book is The Art of Peaceful Living.
Yeah, actually the title is Patience, The Art of Peaceful Living.
Ah, there you go. Okay, so how do we get patience in a 24/7 world?
Well, you don't
I just stumped him right off the bat right there, huh?
Yeah. You know, I just to attention for a second, it just reminded me of the other day the New York Times interviewed me on developing patience in this holiday season. And so the interviewer said, can I develop real patience by December 23rd?
Oh, my God.
Well, I just said that at the beginning of my show. I said it at first. I talked about, you know, it's December 1st. Relax. Be, you know, just take each day. Now, by today, the 14th, I'm like, forget what I said. You know?
Yeah.
Like, we're in full mode here, so.
Yeah. Well, you know, developing patience, I actually learned a lot about this subject when I was researching for this book. And what I've come to is that developing patience is really a multi-tiered process. I think we have to start with what we might call skillful means, which are those, in most cases, very obvious practices that we use in the moment when something just gets us really annoyed. You know, the old classic, take a deep breath or count to 100, you know, that sort of thing. And they are, in many ways, they're superficial because we're not becoming a more patient person, but we are practicing patience by simply creating a pause. And I've tended now to think of that pause as sacred because that kind of pause could save a relationship. And it's not too dramatic to say that kind of pause can actually save a life. It's something that I wrote about in the book where, you know, a crime of passion. Someone just lost their patience, and before she knew it, she had something heavy in her hand, and she just swung her arm around and hit her husband.
Oh, my word.
And he didn't recover from the blow, and she ultimately died in prison. And, you know, when we hear a term like that, crime of passion, what are we speaking about? Someone just losing it. Maybe legitimately so, but...
Well, I always say, I don't know that that was a legitimately so example, but I always say, you know, if you want to learn patience, get married or have children. Because
well,
people do not do things...
You're into chapter two of my book, which is about relationships. Relationships with the person with whom we're most intimate, and also the person with whom we're most likely to lose our patience, because that's where we're most heavily invested. They hold our most intimate truths. And then our children, you know, starting from day one, you bring home what we think of as a miracle, as an angel, and then the angel cries all night.
Yeah, this is so true. If anybody's just joining us right now, you are listening to Tense, The Art of Peaceful Living. And now, you know, so true. There's times that, you know, I always say sometimes we're nicer to strangers than we are to the people that we love and that are with us every day. And sometimes we just need to kind of take that moment to say, okay, you know, we're not on the same page today, but I know we'll get back there.
Right. And, you know, we don't have history with a stranger.
Right.
Mm. We haven't told them a million times that you have to take the garbage out at night or we're going to get... roaches in the kitchen or whatever. And because we have history with our loved ones, our expectations mount and their expectations of us. And that, you know, there's a certain pressure. You know, I actually started this book with a chapter called Patience with Self because many of us find that we lose our patience with ourselves faster than with anyone else. Mm. Our little slip-ups, our errors, we burnt the steak again, or...
So you mean we're hard on ourselves?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, I had a theater background. I spent the first 30 years of my life as a professional singer and actor on Broadway and opera. And in that world, you become very, very much of a perfectionist.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually think it's necessary because the rest of the world is expecting a level of perfection from you. And I think what I learned afterwards when I wasn't really singing anymore was that I could have enjoyed that career much more than I did.
Right. I was a theater major in college, and what I did notice was that people's expectations, why you didn't get a part or why you don't do something, has nothing to do with you. Most of the time it has to do with they wanted a certain type.
Absolutely.
and you didn't fit it.
Absolutely.
But people that are in that business, unless you're an incredibly secure person, cannot help but take it personally.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and I used to play a lot of tennis, and then when I wasn't playing anymore, one day I just realized I never played tennis. I worked.
You say that again. You worked.
I never played tennis. I worked tennis.
Yeah.
And it was again being so impatient with myself, as if, you know, every ball that I hit had to be hit perfectly, exactly where I wanted it to go. And that's not true even on the highest professional level.
You know, Alan, you even talk patiently.
You know, it's funny,
right?
Because we were just talking to a woman about yoga, and as you said that, I realized the reason I like yoga is it's the one place in my life I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect at it, and that's okay.
Exactly, and for me, that is meditation.
It is meditation. Well, you know what's funny is, I mean, I'm going to have to say this right here on my show, is seriously, I come on every single day just trying to do the best I can. But
right.
It's not, I'm not perfect. It's not, you know, and people like that. For that, I'm real. That's what it's all about. You can do the best you can.
You know, I think the truth of what you're saying is, if you were perfect, who could relate to you?
Right.
Yeah, and nobody's perfect. I mean,
right.
We all try to do our best.
Anyway?
That's about it.
The way I tend to state that is put out full effort.
Ooh,
and
I like
you
it.
Can feel good about what you did.
Right, and that's really what I try to say to everybody, even my children. I try to say, be the best that you can be. You know, if you're going to do something, do it. Put all your effort into it, but that's
right.
it. Go
right.
have fun.
And you don't have control. I mean, we'd like to believe that we have some control over what's going on in our life. But the truth is, we have so little control. We put out full effort. You do this wonderful radio program, but you can't control how the listener feels about it.
Exactly.
You can feel good about is, I went to the studio today, I put out full effort, I tried to offer something, and now I can go home and feel really clean.
That's great.
And that literally, that is exactly, I mean, that's the only power we have.
One of the lessons you have here is including tips on how to cope with illness. Tell us about that.
Yes, that's a great, thank you.
Well, you know, we live life this time around inside a body. We don't tend to think of it that way, but that's really what's going on. Now, the body is both miraculous and vulnerable. I mean, if you think about what the body does, what the brain does, what the mind does, how the body heals itself, you know, just a simple cut. You don't have to do anything, and it heals itself. But at the same time, it's vulnerable. You know, a slight tap in the wrong place, and you have a broken bone. Beyond that, something that is going on all the time, is that the body is aging. And many of us become quite impatient with that. We look in the mirror, and we start to not like what we see. That wrinkle wasn't there yesterday. And we become impatient with that. But we need to be able to deal with that, or we will go into our middle years and our later years with an increased unhappiness, dissatisfaction. And that's the underlying soil for impatience.
So how do you cope with an illness? If you get an illness, like let's say you've got cancer, and all of a sudden, you know, you have to rely on the doctor's advice, and, you know, and they have tests, and you just want it out of you, or you just want to get it cured, And it's a process. You cannot cure cancer in a day. You have to
go
through the process.
Or if you've been in an accident or you've fallen and, you know, I know my mom is in a lot of pain from, you know, previous surgeries or that kind of thing. And patience is a hard thing to deal with. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, I spent a few years volunteering as a chaplain. I found it very, very difficult work, but very rewarding. And I think, as you said, it is a process. You first get this news about what can be quite a serious illness, and you're scared, and you don't know what to do. And, you know, now with access to the Internet, we have not only our doctor, but we can go online and get really confused because there are so many opinions. But at a certain point, we have to let go. We have to relinquish what we're holding on to. We have to relinquish our views and say, this is my situation. This is what I have right now. And, you know, ultimately, we look at the possibility of either being miserable during the period of this illness, or how can I go through this illness, possibly even learn something from it. You know, a young friend of mine, she was about 23 years old. Her mother had just died of breast cancer, and then this young lady was diagnosed with breast cancer. She had every reason to be terribly fearful. But we would sit, you know, once or twice a week and just chat, and she said to me one time, you know, when I come out the other end of this, I'm not going to go back to my life the way it was. Not that my life wasn't good, but if I go through this illness and I don't learn from it, it would be a terrible waste. And I thought that was an incredible attitude. I thought it was absolutely beautiful.
And I think you're absolutely right, because I've had some really serious illnesses, and my husband's had some serious illnesses. And when you look through, those are lessons. If you can make it through it, those are lessons and those are warnings. And I think that's how we have to live our life, as every day is an experience.
Absolutely. But, you know, we also need to be realistic. We get news of a serious illness, and that can just scare the dickens out of us.
Oh, no question.
And it's great. You know, support groups are great, and also someone with whom we feel close, someone who knows how to listen so that we can feel comfortable in expressing our fears. And again, patience becomes a major factor here. You cannot rush the process of whether it be chemo or radiation or, depending on the illness, with whatever else is going to be involved. We simply have to be with what is going on and acknowledge that it's very scary.
Right. Well, Alan, if there was one message that you could give us from your book, what would it be?
Ah, one message. Well, it might be this. It takes patience to develop patience.
Yeah.
There you go. I like it. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And where can we find your book?
Well, it's out officially on January 5th, but it can be pre-ordered in all the usual places, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. I always like people to support their independent bookstores.
Definitely.
Yes.
But yeah, it's available, ready for pre-order on January 5th. It can be in people's hands.
There you go. All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us.
Okay. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
All right. Happy holidays. All right. Well, gosh, what a fast show again. It just, it's almost over. And, patience. That's a hard one, isn't it, when you're really exploding over something? It's kind of like you really have to have the restraint to take a deep breath. And
I was gonna say, we're back to breathing again.
It is,
take
really
a breath.
Yeah. Do you ever explode, Matt? You have that really calm.
At times I can be overwhelmed, but I try, just as you said, just take a deep breath. And it's funny, I was always told patience is a virtue.
Yeah. Well, I always, you know, the hardest part for me is not patience with myself. It's patience with other people as far as expectations. So it's when you ask somebody to do something and you expect them to do it right now, and they've got three other things to do before that. And, you know, you, uh, it, it takes patience to say, okay, I've asked them to do that. I'm going to let
You're
them do it.
You're talking about our children, aren't you?
Or my husband.
Yeah.
I'm going to let them do it and expect that, yes, it will get done. And one of my kids said to me one day, Mom, why do you always expect me not to do what you asked me to do?
Do you know that's a really great point?
And I had to say to him,
Because of the past experiences.
He said,
yeah.
Well, let's start anew. And why don't you just give me a moment to do it instead of make me mad and not want to do it?
Because we ask him again and again and again. Because I think
so let it go. And
one of my kids actually said, very similar, Mom, I'm going to take care of him.
And I said, all I need is a response from you. Got it.
Yeah.
So that I know that we've communicated this. And that you've got it, I've got it, and then I will let you.
Well,
take
you know
your
why? Because when they ask of us, we're there.
Yeah, we do it right now, and they expect us to do it right now.
Right, but what if we said, you know, in a moment,
we'll
get around to it. You know, yeah, it's just not our style. We get it done. It's like get it done. We do everything on our list.
It's a
before
checklist. Yeah,
it is. That's how I live my life. We'll have to talk about that. That's another thing is how you live your life of a checklist. Well, I want to thank everyone for being a part of our show today. And again, you know, this is it. This is what it's all about, is really just enjoying your life and being the best you can. And to breathe and relax and enjoy. Because this is the only time that we know that we're going around. Right.
And enjoy this holiday season instead of getting overwhelmed by it. Because it will be gone and you will lose the joy of it.
And then you think afterwards, darn it, why didn't I just enjoy? So anyways, you've been listening to the Kim Pagano Show. I'm Kim. I'm here with Marcia. Matt, thank you on the board. Congratulations to Andy for winning. And I want to thank all my sponsors and all my listeners. With that, of course, I end all of my shows with Mommy Moment. And today's is, the more a man knows, the more he forgives. And with that, that's about patience. So with that, you've been listening to Kim Pagano, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The heart is a blue, shoots up through the stony ground. There's no room, no space to rent in this town. You're out of luck. Traffic is stuck, and you're not moving anywhere. You thought you'd found a friend to take you out of this place. Someone you could lend a hand in return for grace. So beautiful.